Thank you for tuning in. The title of today's message is The End Times Timeline, Part 2. Next week will be Part 3. We're going to dive right into it. Last week, I talked about how Israel is, when you watch Israel, we can tell when the Lord is going to come back. We just look at what's going on. When you read the Bible, it says that the Lord's going to come back when these things happen in Israel. So I talked about that last week. But now I want to talk about the Lord coming back. See, we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He hung on the cross Good Friday. He came out of the grave for Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter. And there's going to be a day where he comes back, where the clouds part, and he comes back. Now, the Bible has sign after sign after sign after sign. It says, look, when these things happen, I'm coming back for the second time. I'm coming back. And he's coming back for Christians, for believers that have said, hey, I'm going to love what you love. I'm going to hate what you hate. I'm going to fight this desire to sin just so I can be righteous before you. And in the areas that I'm weak, I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to call on you. And I just want to encourage you, there's a difference between wickedness and weakness. Sometimes we find an area where we're just weak. And that's when we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your mercy, forgive me. And I also need your grace to make me strong in this area because I want to live a pleasing life for you. These are the people that the Lord comes back for. These are the people in this church that worship the Lord, and when they're not here, they lay their life down. That is only half of the people who attend church. The other half, they just attend church. Okay? Now, how do I know there's half? And this is a different sermon for a different day. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40, it says this, two will be in the field working, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. You go to the next chapter in Matthew chapter 25, verse 11, there's 10 people waiting on Jesus to come back, 10. Five of them got tired of waiting, and they stood out of the door and banged at the door saying, please let us in. Five of them went in, and the Lord yelled through the door, I don't even know you. And so when you take those two stories, they're there to show you that half of the people that believe in the Lord are not going to heaven. They say, Jesus, I believe in you. Satan believes in them. That's not really a big deal. It's the people that have laid their life down. What does laying your life down mean? I am here to serve you. I am here to worship you. This is why I'm here. How can I worship you? How can I praise you? How I'm here to serve you. And when that is your attitude, you are a son or a daughter of Christ. Now, if you're like me, and you are, okay, just some of you, are, all of you, are much better looking, but, and you are, you have these weaknesses where you say, God, I need help. Like I legitimately need help. And if you don't help me, I'm going to be weak here forever. I need your help. And there's sometimes you get immediately help and you're not weak there ever again. And then there's some battles you need God to help you every single day. Remember, weakness, God has compassion. Wickedness, no. And so he comes back for half the church. Now, when I say the church, I mean the entire globe. The cool thing is all of you are going, okay? Let's just embrace that. Because when I look at you, I see everybody going. Only you know if you're in trouble. Are you with me? Say yes. All right. But the fact that you're here, that means that you love them. You say, well, somebody dragged me. You're a grown person. You could say, I'm not going. You could have did that. But I want to show a timeline for the United States. Things that we can look at and say, okay, when these things happen, Jesus is going to come for the second time. But like many of you, I'm an intellect. And I'm like, I want to find things that are unprecedented. They've never happened before. Because if they've happened a million times before, then what are we getting excited about? Some of you are taking pictures. Let me get out of your way. And if you want to stand up, you can stand up if you want to. But I want to just unpack this. I'm going to unpack this really, really quickly. Are you ready? Say yes. All right. One more time. Are you ready? Say yes. All right. Here we go. Here's the timeline. Way before this is Adam and Eve. Way, 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 way before this. Now, in the Old Testament, God's children, Israel, they disobeyed him. They turned their back on him. They're not going to pay attention to him anymore. They're living sinful lives. So he causes where they live to be overtaken. So all the Jews, God's people, they're scattered throughout the earth. But Jesus is coming to Israel. He was born in Bethlehem, Israel. He was raised, his ministry was around the Sea of Galilee, Israel. He was crucified where? On Golgotha, just outside of Jerusalem, in Israel. He rose again. Where? In Israel. And he's saying, all of Jerusalem, Israel, just got destroyed. But, check this out. It's going to come back together. And now, Jesus dies on the cross on the timeline. He's resurrected. Starting in Acts chapter 2, this is when the church age started. This celebration church, you, okay? Then there's the rapture. Now I need some help for my iPad. I don't really like speaking with notes because when I look down, it looks like a whole bunch of ants. Here we go. Let's read this verse together. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is about the rapture. Now, if I catch somebody not reading out loud, we're going to start all over. Okay? All right. Here we go. Real loud. For the Lord himself, sorry, my son Luke wasn't reading. We got to start all. It's your fault. Okay, it's your fault. Here we go, real loud. For the Lord himself, caught up. We're caught up. We're caught up. We get up. We go up. Jesus never puts his foot on the earth. Okay? Now give me the timeline again. So now, the next thing that happens is we go up. Jesus does not put his foot on the earth until over here we come down. 7 years before that, we go up. We're in heaven up there. The Bema seat, however you want to pronounce it, the wedding of the Lamb. This is a massive, massive, massive celebration. This is when you stand before God, in front of the throne. He judges you and I, but with loving kindness, nobody's getting in trouble. He doesn't even remember your sins. What's happening here? This is when he looks at your life, and he sees all the things that you did wonderful. He skips over the sinful moments because you ask for repentance, you're in heaven, doesn't even see it. Okay? And you are rewarded. Every time you wanted to choke someone and you didn't. Every time you didn't want to forgive somebody and you did anyway. Every time The Bible says, when you come to the house of the Lord. It's just like, that's an assumption. Like, when you come. You came when you didn't feel like it. But these are all rewards. You get these rewards. Let me talk about it. Sometimes you live your life and you don't get any rewards for it because they're tainted. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6 says, let us move beyond the elementary teachings, the basic stuff. There's a little bit of a list on what the basic stuff is, like the elementary things, elementary school, where you learn your vowels, A, E, I, O, the basic stuff. Number one is you ask for repentance for dead works. What's dead works? When you do things not for God, it's for you. For example, I'll throw myself under the bus, just as an example. I'm not preaching in front of you to give glory to God. That's not really my motivation. I just like people looking at me. Okay, that means everything I'm doing right now, no reward. Are you with me? Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, on judgment day, we will stand before God. And some people, they built with gold, silver, and jewelry. The real stuff. The thing, I'm living for you. And then other people, they were living for him, but they weren't purposeful on doing things for the Lord. So they built with wood, hay, and straw. But what happens is he takes all the gold, silver, and jewelry, all the wood, hay, and straw. He sets it on this altar. He lights it on fire, wood, hay, and straw. Gone. And so the only thing left is gold, silver, and jewelry. It says this, fire will reveal whether your life had any value to the kingdom. Now, you got raptured, you're in because you were worshiping him, but how did you live your life? Fire will reveal what kind of works you did. And it says this, and you will receive rewards for those works. Now, if all your works get burned up, you still go to heaven, but you're just not rewarded. Now, why would you need rewards? Well, the Lord gives you crowns that you will wear forever. Now, the Bible says you won't feel worthy of a crown. You take it and you put it at his feet, but he gives you crowns. Why do you need rewards? Rewards determine your job and position during the millennial reign as well as for eternity. Now you're like, I have been working my whole life. I don't want to work anymore. This is not that kind of work. This is like, hey, that planet hasn't been spinning. I just made that up. It's just cool stuff. No rewards, weak responsibilities, weak jobs. Bible says this, that in John 5:17, the Father is always working, and Jesus is always working. So if they're always working, you and I are too. What's going to happen right after this is the tribulation? We're in heaven. The tribulation's happening here on earth. Bombs, countries fighting like crazy. There's no Christians on the earth. Can you imagine? It's horrible. Horrible. You don't want to be here. Now, after this is 7 years. That's 7 years. Now, after 7 years, we've already had the wedding. We've already received these wonderful rewards. Don't be afraid of that judgment. It's not going to be like, let me show you what you missed out on. No. It's just like bang, 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 rewards, 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 rewards. And after 7 years, Christ comes down. Now he puts his foot on the earth. And you and I come down with him. Now what happens then? Satan gets thrown into an abyss. Okay? Now he's not on the earth anymore. For 1,000 years, God rules, Jesus rules on the earth, you and I rule with him. Just for the sake of time, imagine Garden of Eden. For the sake of time, the Bible says that the wolf and the sheep will lay down together. It's crazy peace. For those of you who get depressed or anxious, you look in the mirror, you don't like yourself, you don't like the trajectory of yourself, you thought your life would be, all those are demons speaking to you. That's all gone. That's all gone. 1,000 years. Put your hands together if you would love to live like that. 1,000 years, Satan and his demons, they're in the abyss. 1,000 years. However, within 1,000 years, people are going to have babies. Okay? Now, there's no evil spirits that these babies who have grown up 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the grave. Half of that time is the millennial reign. There's a lot of babies. Now, how fair is that? That you and I are fighting tooth and nail away from every demon, and they get to live like that. Now, I love my kids, but they don't get a pass for a short time. Satan's released. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details. There's so many questions about this. I'm going to say two things. One, I don't have the time to cover the details. Two, I'm begging you, please don't send me any books. Every time I talk about something like this, somebody sends me books. Monday morning, I got 4 books on my desk that somebody wants me to read. Then I get these emails and all these links. Just spare me, okay? All right. Now Satan is released, but only for a short time. Then all the sinful people in hell, all the sinful people, everyone who's ever lived that's not a Christian, they stand before a different throne. Not the reward throne. No. They stand at the great throne judgment. Only bad things happen here. Everybody pays a price for their sin, and they go to hell with Satan for eternity. We are in the new Jerusalem forever and ever, living an awesome life. Does that make sense? This, if anyone here is going, is you're fighting tooth and nail just to keep your head above water. The Lord sees this. And the Bible says this in Psalms 56:8, that he tracks every worry. He catches every tear in a bottle. He catches it all. But you keep reaching and longing for his presence. He sees all that. When you stand before the judgment seat, he's going to judge and say, you could have turned your back, but you didn't. It's going to be a great day. Now, There are three things. I'm only going to pick three. Three things that are unprecedented. They've never happened before. That tells me that the second coming is close. I'm going to just cruise right through them, okay? Here we go. Number one, the rapture will happen, the Bible says this, during the days of Noah and Lot. Okay, this is in Luke 17, Matthew 24. What was going on in the days of Noah and Lot? There was only a small remnant of believers, and the whole world was full of sin. Sex. If you're married, have all the sex you want. But the enemy is crazy because what his trick is to get you to have sex before you get married, and then after you get married, he wants to keep you from having sex. It's I don't know. You're the one laughing. Okay? Now, but just there once was a day in the 20th century where Hollywood, let me read it. They had conservative censorship standards of the time. This was due to the Hays Code that set Hollywood at global guidelines. So let me give you an example. Throw up Lucy and Ricky. Everybody loves Lucy and Ricky. They're married. But on TV, they can't be in the same bed. The Dick Van Dyke Show. I can watch that almost every night. They're married. They're watching TV. Look how big that thing is. With the antennas. Anybody remember the antennas? Move those things around, put tinfoil on it. They're married. They can't be in the same bed. Now I'm going to play a video clip from a show at 1 o'clock in the morning from HBO. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But all of you guys that went, oh no, because you know. Isn't that Lucy? Not happening anymore. It's common and protected in the LGBTQ, whatever. It's on normal shows at like 6 o'clock. And I'm looking at my 11-year-old. They're indoctrinating her, telling her, this is normal. This is not normal. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented. You go, oh, I think it used to happen. No. I'm going to just refer back to the Grammys of 2023. There was this guy, he's all of it, right? He's not a trans, he's a guy who acts like a girl. And then there's a girl. They made an album together. When she was 16, well, she was born a boy, and then when she was 16, she did the transition, whatever you call it. Now she's a girl. They wrote an album together titled, wait for it, Unholy. They win an award for it. They put it on TV. We're supposed to accept this. Let me show you a clip. Now, I'm going to show you the clip of when they won the award. But later on in the show, they played the song, Unholy, and it was a satanic seance. I'm not going to show that. I'm not going to give the devil any glory. But let me show you when they received the reward. And tell, this is unprecedented. I want to say this. Keep in mind, the girl was born a boy, and I want you to pay attention to how the crowd reacted. Check this out.
Sam, I love you so much, and this song has been such an incredible, incredible journey for me. And Sam, has been a supporter of mine for so long. Sam graciously wanted me to accept this award because I'm the first transgender woman to win this award. And I'm so... Thank you. And I just want to thank all the incredible transgender legends before me who kicked these doors open for me so I could be here tonight.
Now, if any of you have gay friends, they're living in sin. One of the arguments is, well, I was born this way, and so how do you want me to live when I desire that so bad? Well, my answer is, well, straight people were born that way, and they want to have sex outside of marriage all the time. So, what do you want us to do with that? Well, straight people and gay people have the same temptation. So do I look at straight people and go, oh, you want to have sex outside of marriage? I didn't know you've been like that your whole life. Go for it. Are you with me? Does that make sense? I don't have time for that. That was just something. That's number one, unprecedented. This means unprecedented signs. The Bible says prophetically, this is when he comes. Two more. Cashless society and ID systems. Revelation 13:16 says this, no one can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. Mark of the beast is this like a barcode on your hand or on your forehead. And you go, how do we get from that to that? Well, there's no cash. Now, we've been a cashless society since we got credit cards. Are you with me? Say yes. No cash. Bink. Now, you don't even need a credit card. All you need is a phone. And how does the phone make sure it's you? It's, what do they call it? Digital ID system, biometric authentication. Boom, boom, boom. So now it's already a cashless society. Okay? By the way, if I've offended anybody this morning, I'm not trying to offend you. Reading the Bible out loud is extraordinarily difficult. But when I stand before God, he's not going to ask me how many friends I made. He's going to ask me... But just so you know, when I'm on this stage, I have muscles on my teeth and fire in my veins. But when I walk off this stage, I'm just me again, and I drive all the way home, and I'm going, I cannot believe I said that. I cannot believe I said that. But I want to please him more than I want you to like me. Okay. So I know that this is a hard saying. But there's things in my life I wish wasn't in the Bible either. But it is. I got to forgive people that are idiots. So when it's a cashless society, the government can tell what you're spending your money on. And if you don't follow their guidelines, they have the ability to say, you're not going to get to spend money anymore. And you go, Frankie, don't drink from the glass of conspiracy theorists. I like you. I don't want you to go weird. In China, they have something called credit social system. So they can tell what they spend money on, and they're even able to record cameras in the street. You can put a little, you know, sticky thing on your camera if you want to. The China doesn't go, oh, shoot. Now what are we going to do? They got cameras everywhere. They got recording devices everywhere. You know, you're like, hey, if I talk about buying shoes around my phone, all of a sudden I get ads, you know, selling shoes. Them, they got recording devices everywhere, on the phone, everywhere. You talk bad about the government, you can't buy stuff. This is in China right now. So you say, okay, Frankie, practically speaking, help me get there. Help me get there, okay? Help me get there. Okay, so during COVID-19, the government comes along and says, everybody get a vaccine. Okay? Half the country says, I don't want the vaccine. Well, if they're able to track those people, okay, I'm doing my best right now, not to reveal whether I got it or not, because I know half of you got it, the other half didn't, and I'm just like, I don't want you to be able to figure it out. But what they say is, hey, everybody's got to get the vaccine. If they can track you and know what you're doing 24/7, they can say this, hey, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't buy. You don't have cash anymore. Boom, boom. They can do that. Just like in Canada, they didn't like what they were doing, so they froze their accounts. You remember that? Nod at me if you remember that. Okay? Boom. Can't get your money out. Had something to do with the semi-trucks, blah, 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 blah. Canada did it. They did it in China. They can do that. Okay? Are you with me? Say yes. It's a cashless society. One of the things I've tried to do is get rid of keys. I hate keys. So I can get into my office with my phone. I can get in my house with a code. I'm stuck with a key for my truck. I really wish I could just... We're getting there. What would be really cool... Let me finish. Is I can go to Kroger and just like, beep. Open up my office door. Beep, beep, beep. Start my car. Beep. I mean, that would be awesome. And you're looking at me and go, stop saying that. That's the mark of the beast, my God. I'm just telling you, it would be an easy transition. We're already at a cashless society. This is unprecedented. These are the signs that say the second coming of Christ is coming. Last one, last of three, here we go. If you're new here, I never ever preached this long, except for last week. But I just got to get it all out. The Bible says, point number three, look, I'm biometrics, turning it back on. Point number three, the earth is groaning. This is the last time I'll ask you to read out loud. Are you guys ready? Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Let's read it real loud, including you, Luke. We're not going to start over for you. All right, here we go. For the creation waits. So, what's it saying? When Adam and Eve fell, creation has been groaning, asking, wanting liberation. Trees, rocks, mountains, creation. Now, some of you are going, like, that's insane. That's impossible. You haven't even seen impossible yet. Wait till you get to heaven. It's going to be like, oh, my God, that's crazy. Creation longing for the Lord, that's nothing. That's nothing. So now, how is creation longing? The Bible says this. That in Matthew 24, verse 7, that these are birth pains. When creation starts long, in Isaiah 24, verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Nature will be going crazy. How so? Well, let me give you an example. I'm not going to show you tsunamis. I'm not going to show you earthquakes. We've seen that before. Let me show you something unprecedented. Show LA. I'm only talking about unprecedented things. This truck is driving into something that looks like hell. What are we talking about so far? Three major points. What's unprecedented? It's never happened, but it's a prophecy in the Bible that says when it does. Timeline? You're on fire. When it does is the second coming. Now, I got one last point. Service is over. Listen. Every single prophecy in the Bible about the Lord coming back is about the second coming of Christ. There's scriptures that speak of the rapture, but there's no signs that we should be looking for to determine when the rapture is going to take place. All the signs in the Bible tell us when the second coming is going to take place. We are looking at signs everywhere that tell us the second coming is going to happen, but the rapture comes first. Therefore, if the second coming is near, then the rapture could happen any minute. But not just any minute. If we're seeing the signs of the second coming, there's 7 years before the second coming, then the rapture. So if we already have signs about the second coming, and the rapture happens 7 years before, like we're talking about right now, like sometime around right now. We go up. So I say this to say, if you want to be half in, half out, let your emotions lead you on what you want to do, when you want to be godly, when you don't want to be godly, when you want to worship, when you don't want to worship, and you're just led by your emotions, that was okay, not okay, but do that like before. Don't do that today. Don't do that moving forward. Because the Bible says that the rapture will happen in a twinkling of an eye, in a blink. And there are no more signs to tell us when the rapture is going to happen. All the signs tell us when the second coming is going to happen. And those signs are everywhere. And the rapture comes first. And so if you're going to keep yourself awake, don't get cold, don't get cold, don't get cold. If you're ever going to play worship music in your car, if you're ever going to play worship music in your house, if you're ever going to be in the house of God, if you're ever going to long for righteousness, if you're ever going to worship Him, if you're ever going to walk through the day, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love... People make praying way too complicated. Just say, I love you, over and over and over and over and over and over again. If you want to add to that, awesome. But I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Sometimes when I'm driving my truck, I look in the passenger seat and I say, I need you. Now, is he in the passenger seat? Acts 14. Oh my gosh. I think it's 26. 17:28. That's what it is. In him we live and breathe. So we're actually in his presence. But just for a point of reference, I look at the seat and I say, I need you. And I love you. That's how you live your life now. Don't mess around. Why don't you stand up on your feet for me, please? Next week will be part three. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down. Some of you just need someone to pray for you. That's what you need. You just need someone to pray for you. David and Micah, would you guys come down? That's what you just need someone to pray for you. If there's some prayer partners out there who are like, I just don't feel like praying with people. Not today. I need you down here. If all the prayer partners are taken, just come down to the bottom of the aisle. We'll point you to the first available prayer partner. If you're in this room, you're like, I'm not ready to see the Lord. If my heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, I'm not ready. You're the most important person in the room because at the next blink, the rapture could take place. Now's not the time to not be ready. How do you get ready? Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and from this day forward, I will worship you. I will long for you. You say that prayer, and the rapture comes at the next blink. You're going up. So I want to invite whoever here wants someone to pray for you. Come down and let a prayer partner pray for you. Maybe it's your family, your finances. Maybe it's on the topic we talked about today. But what I'm going to ask is that nobody leave until we sing this song just one time through, and then you can go. If you want to stay longer than that, that's fine. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.